This morning's message is actually a continuation of the one we had 2 weeks ago. Walking with God. 2 weeks ago, we focused on more on prayer. We talked about alms, prayer, fasting, and a proper view of the world, choosing light, regarding material needs. Today, we're moving into some other subjects, and I think this is really where the rubber hits the road in the Christian life. The first one is actually relationships, human relationships. And I want to read to us, you don't have to turn to it, but Matthew 22, verses 35 to 40. Then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him and saying, "Master, which is the great commandment in the law?" Jesus said unto him, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." The question was asked, what is the greatest thing that we can pay attention to? And Jesus very clearly told them, love. Love God. And if you love God, love mankind. And I'm also going to look at 1 John 4, verses 12 and 13. Reads like this. "No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. Hereby know we that we dwell in him, and he in us, because he hath given us of his Spirit." So it is saying here, and we had a very good introduction to this already this morning in the songs and the devotions. The test of our reality, our relationship with God, our walk with God, is actually our love for our brethren. He says here, we can't very easily measure the love that you have to God, but you can to the brother, to mankind. And that's the test of whether your walk with God is real. Whether this is actually a vertical link depends on, is shown by whether there's a horizontal link. The rest of the message actually comes from Matthew 7. Turn with me to that. So many times, we can profess to love God, and yet there's a lot of problems horizontally. And I'm not here to advocate that we can humanly take care of all the relationship problems on a human basis. We can take care of our part of them, but sometimes there's still issues, still people that don't like us, still people that are out to make trouble. But it will be evident, do I love? How I relate will tell you, do I love? And Matthew 7 comes in on this, but before we get into this, just a little bit more, I'm going to start on this thought and end on this thought of building on the rock. When you get a picture of children playing in the sandbox, how hard are they working? They might be expending some energies, but contrast that to a road crew that wants to take a road through the mountains. Got to watch this. There's a lot of work that goes into that. If you have the top of a mountain to remove, to put a road where you want to put it. You don't go out there with shovels. You go out there, well, depending what you're working with, maybe picks and jackhammers, but more probably dynamite. You're working with hard stuff. You're working with serious stuff. The road crew that I was watching that was using dynamite for blasting. Of course, I couldn't watch up close, but they would drill. And before they would set the fuses, they would sound an alarm. Everybody would run back. They'd set the fuses. Why? This is powerful stuff. It can work good. It can work ill. And that's the way we are in our relationships as we relate to mankind. We can work good. We can work ill. It takes a lot of work to accomplish good. But it can take one small misstep to accomplish ill. I'm going to read at this time Matthew 7, verses 1 to 5. Judge not that ye be not judged. For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. And with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, Let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. Last week, I had given the burden of the message as being to inspire me and others to more proactive walk with God. And I'm very conscious as I share a message with this that I'm sharing about something I have not attained to. But I trust we can still look at the principles of the Word and strive together to grow in these areas. First thing I see as we look at the walking with God and good human relationships is the idea of being critical. We're looking at the concept of judging others. And verse 1 already indicates that we're very likely to get back what we give. It doesn't always work one for one, but as a rule of thumb, what you give comes back to you. So if you're receiving something you don't like, it's fair to ask the question, am I giving this to others? A good relationship with mankind. Verse 3 talks about how it's easier to see the faults in others than in ourselves. And hand in hand with that, as we go into the next couple of verses, another sub-point would be, humanly speaking, we carry beams that we don't even recognize. So I see a fault in you. And I address that. It has to be with the consciousness that there may be a beam in my life that I'm not recognizing, and I need to be open. I need to be ready to hear that. I need to be placing myself in a way that I can hear that. And again, I want to reiterate that how I'm doing with my brotherhood, with my brethren, with other humans, is an indication of how I am doing with God. Back to that song that we sang. We need to be working. We need to be working hard. Love is not a fuzzy feeling that just happens. Love is something that takes work. And it is evidenced by the things we do. A lot more so than by the things we say. Okay. Another thing I think about, let's read verse 6 here. Give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast ye your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn again and rend you. This verse, you could go many directions with, I believe. And it's given as a separate paragraph here, but it's in the context here of relationships. And so that's the way I'm going to look at it. Relationships are not a commodity. Relationships are not something that I can pick this one, I can discard this one, this one's easier, I'll choose that one. Relationships are something that takes work. Now, what about the idea of casting pearls before swine? I want to hold up the idea that human relationships that you have built and your relationship with God that you're building as you walk on a day-to-day basis is a pearl. It's something you do not want to lightly cast aside. It is something that you want to treasure and hang on to. It says if we cast them before swine, they will turn again and rend you. If you discard a relationship, there is something somewhere, there is a relationship somewhere that will be letting you down as well, generally speaking. It's something to treasure. It's something valuable. Relationships, as hard as they are to work on, is something God has given us. They're so beautiful as we do work on them. They are a treasure. Okay. We're going to go on to verses 7 to 12. That reads like this. Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth, and he that seeketh, findeth, and to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. Or what man is there of you, whom if his son ask bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask him? Therefore, all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them, for this is the law and the prophets. Okay, the next aspect we're looking at here in walking with God in relationships is giving and receiving. And first of all, we're looking at God. Verse 7, it's talking about asking of God. And again, we heard that in devotions. If we go and ask God for his spirit, or for whatever it might be, God gives. Now, there's also a verse that says, ye ask and receive not, but because ye ask amiss, to consume it upon your own lusts. If we are asking for things that God really wants us to have, God will give it. If I'm going out and asking for a better vehicle because, well, that's what most of the other people I relate to have, God's not promising here in verse 7 that he's going to answer that prayer. He is promising that as we seek things of him that are going to further our walk with him, that we will receive them. So in light of that, we can ask for the Spirit. We can ask for love in our relationships. We can ask for the ability to relate to Joe over here or Sally over there. The person that's difficult. We can ask for grace to live through a difficult day, and he will give it, because these are all part of furthering our walk with God. He says, seek, knock. So that gives me the idea that it's not something we just do flippantly. This isn't something where one day I wake up and it's like, you know what? I need the Spirit. And so we pray one time and we ask God for the Spirit. If children are playing a game of hide and seek, if it would look at one place for four children and give up because he found none of them, would we call that seeking? I don't think so. But humanly, in our relationships or in our request to God, in our relationship with God especially, so many times we can just all of a sudden wake up one day and remember that, oh, I needed this. Ask for it and forget about it just as quickly. Is that seeking? No, that's not seeking. He also says knock. If you go to your friend's house and go to the door, are you just going to rap on the door one time? That's it. Probably not. Probably not. You'll probably rap on it a couple of times. Around here, we commonly have those little dinger bells. I generally tap it several times. One time, you hear it inside, can be mistaken for another distraction somewhere. And I know God does not mistake our requests for distractions. So the parallel does fall very short there. But how serious am I about getting in with God? How serious am I about walking with God? Am I going to diligently seek? Am I going to knock until I know I have my answer? Sometimes we go to God, we take a request to Him. Depending how we're feeling, we might say, I didn't get an answer. Did that ever happen to you? It has to me. What's wrong? Well, maybe I did not persist. Maybe I did not actually knock. Maybe I just dropped it there and left it. And I wasn't there when he came with his answer. Or sometimes, let me just drop that. I want to read verse 8 yet. Verse 8 here says, for everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. It says here, we will get an answer. Maybe I got an answer I didn't like. Sometimes that happens. I asked God to do something for me, and God said no, or God said not now. And that's not the answer I wanted. And so it's not an answer. In my mind, it's still an answer. We need to accept it. If I ask my child, did you go pick your clothing off the floor and put them in the wash? And they say, well, I went back to my bedroom and I saw a game that was out of place, so I put it together. Did I get an answer? Not the answer I was looking for. Sometimes it happens to us. God has a different answer than what we want. But he will give us answers. As we focus on the last couple of verses that we read here, this is a part that we often don't look at in these verses. But verses 9 to 11 essentially say that this asking and receiving relationship that we build with God can be built on a human level as well. You know, as we develop relationships on a human level, let's just flip it around because it's easier to look at this way. If somebody that you have a relationship with, somebody that you care about, comes to you and says, hey, I just, whatever it is, I just lost $5 that I needed to go pick up a few items at the grocery store. If you care about them, are you going to give? Yes, you will. You will give. And likewise, if you're in need, whether it's a material need, whether it's an emotional need, or even a spiritual need, if you have friends that you have relationships with, you go to them, you actually expect to receive. And that's not wrong. Relationship is giving and receiving. Now, when somebody comes to me with a need, is it always easy to give the right response? No, it's not always easy. But you know, if my life is founded on that rock, if it is founded on a relationship with Jesus, there will be something in me that wants to help, even if it's not easy. If it's founded on the sand, that might be the end of the relationship. It'll just wash away. It'll be done. So many relationships today are built on the sand. And so when the times get hard, when I need to now start giving instead of receiving, it just washes away. Very familiar verse 12, we call the golden rule. All things whatsoever you would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them. For this is the law and the prophets. Very good verse to remember. Not just for children, but for adults too. You know what we want others to do for us? Let's do for them. Now, just a little illustration. I love chocolate ice cream. So if I take you out to Dairy Queen, I'm going to buy you all chocolate ice cream, right? It's not quite that way. If I would like you to consider my preference for chocolate when you take me out to Dairy Queen, I am going to consider your preference for whatever it is, be it vanilla or a mix or a rocky road or whatever you want. It does not mean that your preferences are the same as mine, but that I will seek out your preferences and honor them just as I would like you to do for me. Relationship is developed by doing for others what we want for them to do for us. Okay, switching the focus a little bit. Walking with God, and my next main point of the message is in difficulty. I'm going to go ahead and read verses 13 to 22. Actually, to 23. Matthew 7, verse 13. Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. Not every one that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. A walk with God in difficulty. And this starts on the premise of a straight and a broad gate. Straight meaning narrow. If that door was a straight gate, the broad gate would probably be the entire wall from the back to the front. In other words, it's going to take some work. It's going to take some effort to get to that gate and get through it. So the very premise of the Christian life is there is life in difficulty. And that's something that you cannot just say and expect a human mind to understand. The American dream teaches us that there is life in comfort. There is life in gain. But the Bible teaches us that there is life in difficulty. There is life in striving, in struggling. There is life in hard work. So the first thing I want to say about walking with God in difficulty is just simply understand that life is found on the hard road. If you have been living a life where your boat has never been rocked, so to speak, take a close look. Take a close look. Because life is found on a narrow road, on a hard road. The next couple of verses, verses 15 to 20 here, tell us that we need to beware because there are many false prophets that will come telling us that there's an easier way. So they come to you in sheep's clothing. It looks so good. It looks so good. I was sharing with one of the brothers just 2 days ago about the series, The Seven Habits. How many of you have heard of those series, The Seven Habits? Okay. There's some series of floats on the seven habits. One of them that I had read was The Seven Habits of... just slipped my mind. The concept was of being a good, effective person. And you know, there's a lot in there. But as we looked at it, there was one thing that was very seriously missing. That was God wasn't in the picture at all. It was about what I could do if I did this. It looks so good on the outside, but inwardly, there's a ravening wolf. There's somebody that wants to bite, devour. There are many false prophets who will try to convince us of an easier way. And I will say about that we don't need to walk in trepidation because there's wolves out there that look like, that are dressed like sheep. Because we can know them by the fruit of their lives. As we watch them, we will see, is this really to draw me closer to God? Or is this to put focus on me? The other thing I see in this section is saying is not enough. Verses 21 to 23. There were a lot of people here that knew the right words to say. They knew the right time to say them. And they actually got through life, by all appearances here, they actually got through life with the blessing of their church. But when they came to the judgment bar of God, God said, "Depart from me, I never knew you. There is no relationship between you and me." Saying is not enough. There needs to be a life that shows our relationship with God. And hand in hand with that, there are many that do without ever having a relationship. So they know the right words to say. Not only that, they even know the right responses for the right times. But those responses come out of a forced inner strength, a little bit like those courses I was talking about a bit ago. Yes, it can make you into a more moral person. But did it build a relationship with God? Is what I'm doing happening because I am walking with God? That's the challenge I want to let with us. Verses 24 to 27. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And every one that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. Walking with God in building on the rock. It's kind of a summary here. Those who have a relationship with God are founded on a rock. The storms will come. They will come. They will beat upon you. But you will not fall, because you are founded on a rock. And I realize we're human. Sometimes we do slide. Sometimes we do slip. But if we're on the rock, we can get up again and go on. If we're on the sand, our very base gets eroded, and we have nothing to help us get back up. So if we're building on the rock this morning, you have a relationship that is very precious. A relationship with God that is very precious. It will be real to you when you study His Word. You'll enjoy hearing Him speak, and you will enjoy talking to Him. So I want to challenge us this morning. Let's have that relationship that is founded on a rock. Let's kneel for prayer.